Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The rescue last week of Australian sailor Tim Shaddock and his dog Bella after being adrift at sea for nearly 3 months is a story that captured the attention of people around the globe. The pair left Mexico for French Polynesia in April, but after their boat was damaged by a storm, they were forced to survive on raw fish and rainwater until a chance rescue by a Mexican tuna trawler. An incredible story of survival and dogged determination. But just how difficult is it to survive at sea for so long without proper supplies? To talk more about this, I'm joined by Mike Tipton, Professor of Human and Applied Physiology at the University of Portsmouth and author of Essentials of Sea Survival. Good morning to you, Mike. Do you think that Tim Shaddock was a skilled survivalist, incredibly lucky, or a bit of both, perhaps?
Option three, Philip, I think it's a bit of both. He was lucky in terms of getting a plentiful supply of fresh water. I'm not sure whether he had a reverse osmosis pump or a solar still. Reports are a bit mixed on that. But certainly his main source of fresh water was falling from the sky, and nobody has any control over that. And the second element of luck was that he was found by a helicopter that wasn't looking for him, that was actually looking for tuna. And so, you know, the size of the Pacific and the size of a catamaran, that's a needle in a haystack find. So they're the two bits of luck. The skill side of things, he knew that he would have to protect himself from the elements. He stayed still during the hottest parts of the day, covered himself in a tarpaulin, avoided sunburn, because once you are in a situation where you're not going to die from the cold, then your major challenge is maintaining hydration. You've got about 6 days of survival time before you die from dehydration, in comparison with 40 to 60 days of starvation. So fluid is your major problem. And he was lucky, but he also must have had a way of collecting that and rationing that. The minimum amount you can get away with a day is, at the absolute extreme, is between about 120 and 220 mils. We're recommended to drink about a litre and a half, of course, and that puts that into perspective.
How disabled was his boat, Mike?
I don't know specifically, but from the pictures of it, it looked pretty beaten up. And the major problem for him was that he'd lost all his electronics, so he had no way of calling for help, issuing a mayday, having his position located. Obviously, you could have a backup on that, something that you could use that was maybe battery driven in an emergency. But I don't believe he had that. So I think that was his major problem. And being a catamaran, there wasn't a natural place for him to go and, you know, be in a cabin and hide. So he was having to use tarpaulin.
Yes. Now, there are two elements to his survival, the physical and the mental. Obviously, the physical is your area of speciality. In order to battle the fatigue from the lack of food, the lack of water, you would think that curling up in a ball and doing as little as possible would be the best thing. But that wasn't really an option for him, was it?
No, I mean, that's exactly the right thing to do in the hottest parts of the day, because, you know, we have an obligate fluid loss from the body of around about half a litre a day. But if you start exercising in the hottest part of the day, humans can sweat up to 2 litres per hour. So that puts an enormous increase on the amount of fluid you've got to collect and drink in order to avert dehydration. So the smart thing to do is you fish at night, you do all the sort of maintenance that you need to do in the coolest parts of the day, early morning, preferably. Again, that's where the skill comes in of managing your body fluid loss and your energy expenditure, because both of those will link directly into your survival time.
What would, assuming he only had fish that he caught, what would a high protein, low carb, low fat diet like fish only with water do to your insides?
Well, you'll slowly adjust to it. I mean, the interesting thing is that In terms of the recommendations for survival ration packs, they tend to be high in fat and high in sugar, because these two things provide you with instant energy. The fat is particularly dense in its calories, you know, 9 calories per gram in fat and 5 in sugar. But the problem is, of course, once you've eaten that, all you're really surrounded with is protein. And so people end up in nearly all of these long survival voyages just eating fish. The problem with fish is that because it's protein, it requires fluid to as part of the digestion process. So you're looking at 2 to 3 mils of water for every gram of protein you consume. So it does increase your fluid requirement, which is why it's not recommended. But if it's fish or nothing, you're going to eat fish. Mm. The long-term consequences for the gut, I think, are not particularly problematic. But it does mean that when you come back into a normal environment, you probably need to be weaned back onto a mixed diet fairly carefully. Although I think Tim probably ate as much as he could lay his hands on as quickly as possible from what I read.
Scurvy is not a condition that we have much experience of in the 21st century, but how long would it be for the absence of fresh fruit from your diet would mean that you would get scurvy?
Oh, that's months rather than weeks. So you'll be looking at, over 2 to 3 months and longer. So that shouldn't be a problem. It's the food side of things and the micronutrients, et cetera, are much more longer term. As I say, for complete starvation, it's 40 to 60 days survival.
We know that he meditated by way of trying to keep himself sane, and he wrote in a journal as well. He also had this dog with him. How big a part of that need for companionship that all human beings, even if they are loners, would have, how big a part do you think that the dog Bella might have played?
Yeah, I mean, it's as you say, it's not my area of expertise particularly, but I mean, the first thing that having the dog with you will do, it's going to increase the amount of food and fluid you have to obtain. And actually, the dog looked in pretty good condition. I think the dog looked in better condition than Tim did when he got off the boat. So he obviously looked after the dog pretty well. So that's the downside of things. But the upside, as you imply, is that companionship, that having something to do, something to look after. I mean, these have been fairly significant characteristics of quite a lot of the long-term survival voyages. The Robertson family, 38 days adrift, having a family to look after, Shackleton having men to look after, on a day-to-day basis, having a regime where you've got to do things. And I'm sure the dog would have helped with that, as well as, the companionship, as you say.
Mm-hmm. And back on dry land, is it easy for your sense of balance, for the inner ear, to adjust for you to get your land legs again?
Varies very much between individuals. One of the things that will have assisted Tim's survival was that he was experienced in the environment. I mean, it's very noticeable when you read through fatal accident inquiries and reports that those that tend to struggle at sea are the ones that are not used to being at sea. They get seasick. Seasickness definitely accelerates your rate of cooling, and those that die tend to be the ones that have seasickness. So he's used to going into that environment, and he's used to coming back from that environment to dry land. So, yes, for some individuals, you'd have imbalance for a while whilst you got your sea legs were sorted out. But I think in his case, he was such a keen sailor, had spent so much time going into the maritime environment and back again, that wasn't an issue.
Mike Tipton, Professor of Human and Applied Physiology at the University of Portsmouth and the author of Essentials of Sea Survival. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
That's a pleasure, Philip.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.